Leader of the Islamic Revolution advises Iranians to elect a pious, revolutionary, and resolute person as their next president. Iranian intelligence minister says is ready to thwart plots hatched by the Islamic Republic's enemies during presidential elections. Iran's foreign minister says the meeting of the Friends of Syria will be held in Iranian capital Tehran in the near future. Moscow summons U.S. ambassador to Russia following the arrest of an alleged CIA spy in the Russian capital. And Zionists clash with protesters marking the 65th anniversary of the Nakba Day. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says Iran's upcoming presidential election has turned into a sensitive international issue, advising the Iranians to elect a pious, revolutionary, and resolute person as their next president.
Addressing thousands of people from the Iranian provinces of Mazandaran, Gilan, Golestan, and Kohiluyeb and Boyarahmad in Tehran on Wednesday, the leader said, although the election is around 1 month away, this matter has become an important international issue, and global think tanks and the enemies of Iran are even carefully monitoring its preliminary stages. Ayatollah Khamenei described the upcoming presidential election as another test for the Iranian nation. The leader pointed out that in the upcoming presidential election, the enemies are pursuing objectives contrary to those of the Iranian nations. He added that the enemy seeks to create voter apathy and would like to see a person coming to power who drags Iran into dependence, weakness, and backwardness in various fields and puts it on the path of foreigners' policies. Commenting on the paramount importance of the June 14th presidential vote, Ayatollah Khamenei added that in order to realize enemies' objectives and disappoint them, the people should enthusiastically take part in the election. The leader said the Iranians should choose a competent, virtuous, pious, revolutionary, resolute, and a steadfast person with jihadi perseverance from among the candidates that the Guardian Council introduces based on legal standards. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that the elected president should be able to shoulder the heavy responsibility of boosting the country's dignity and progress in a better manner than other candidates.
The Iranian intelligence minister says his ministry is ready to thwart plots hatched by the Islamic Republic's enemies during the forthcoming presidential election slated for June 14. Speaking on the sidelines of a cabinet session in Tehran on Wednesday, Haydar Masri said the enemies have hatched plots for the election, but security officials are ready to confront them. Masri noted that his ministry is closely monitoring the enemy's moves, especially in the field of the media, to foil any conspiracy. Iranian officials have warned that enemies are planning to create chaos and unrest during the June presidential race. Iran's foreign minister says the meeting of the Friends of Syria will be held in the Iranian capital Tehran in the near future. Ali Karzai said on Wednesday that the meeting will be held in Tehran on May 29 and a number of countries have been invited to attend, referring to an initiative presented by Egypt's President Morsi during a recent OIC summit in Mecca. Saleh noted that Tehran agrees with the outlines of Cairo's proposals on Syria. Commenting on his trip to Saudi Arabia, Saleh said, there were clear and transparent talks with Saudi Foreign Minister Saud al-Faisal on bilateral, regional, and international issues. He added, a new chapter will soon open in bilateral relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia. The Speaker of Iran's Majlis or the Parliament has congratulated the speakers of two legislative bodies, Russian State Duma and Council of the Russian Federation, on the National Day of Russia. In a message to the Speaker of Russia State Duma, Lodijani wrote, it is a great pleasure to see extensive parliamentary cooperation of the two countries aiming to secure the interests of the two nations during the sensitive regional and international situation. He added that undoubtedly, Continued consultations between parliaments of the two countries testify national resolve of high officials to promote friendly relations on various dimensions. In a separate message to the Speaker of Russian Federation Council, the Iranian Speaker voiced confidence that Iran-Russia parliamentary ties will expand in line with mutual interests. Loryzhani hoped that the bilateral ties and cooperation between the two states would expand in the near future. Palestinian refugees in Syria have come under fire from foreign-backed militants fighting against the government of President Bashar al-Assad. The incident happened after around 1,000 refugees protesting against their expulsion by the militants from the Yarmouk refugee camp in Damascus tried to enter the camp on Wednesday. The foreign-sponsored militants fired mortar shells on the protesters, injuring at least five people, including army soldiers, who rushed to the scene. Yarmouk refugee camp has borne the brunt of the turmoil in Syria over the past months. In September 2012, 20 people were killed in a mortar attack by militants on the camp. Now, Moscow has summoned U.S. Ambassador to Russia Michael McFaul following the arrest of an alleged CIA spy in the Russian capital. On Wednesday, McFaul met with Russian officials at the Foreign Ministry after being summoned to explain the presence of CIA agent Ryan C. Fogel, who was working undercover at the U.S. Embassy. Russia's Federal Security said the presence of CIA agent Ryan C. Fogel, who was working undercover at the U.S. Embassy. Russia's Federal Security Service arrested Fogel on Monday after he allegedly tried to recruit a Russian national to spy for the CIA. Fogel was ordered to immediately leave the country. On Tuesday, Russia's foreign ministry said that such provocative acts in the spirit of the Cold War in no way help strengthen mutual trust between Moscow and Washington. The United States has not commented on the incident yet. The development came days after President Vladimir Putin and U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said in Moscow that the relationship between the two sides was improving. And now a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution advises Iranians to elect a pious, revolutionary, and resolute person as their next president. Iranian intelligence minister says the ministry is ready to thwart plots hatched by the Islamic Republic's enemies during presidential election. Iran's foreign minister says the meeting of the Friends of Syria will be held in Iranian capital Tehran in the near future. Moscow summons U.S. ambassador to Russia following the arrest of an alleged CIA spy in the Russian capital. And Zionist forces clash with protesters, marking the 65th anniversary of the Nakba Day. Every year, on May 15, Palestinians all over the world hold demonstrations to commemorate Nakba Day, which marks the anniversary of the forcible eviction of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from their homeland by Zionists in 1948. On May 15, 1948, Zionist forces displaced some 700,000 Palestinians, forcing them to flee to different neighboring countries. Now, clashes erupted outside a Zionist-operated Ofer prison in northern West Bank after Zionist forces attacked Palestinians who were marking the 65th anniversary of the Nakba Day. Similar clashes erupted near the Al-Aqsa Mosque in East Al-Quds on Wednesday. The Zionist police also arrested 25 Palestinians during the rally in East Al-Quds. Rallies commemorating the Nakba Day, or the Day of Catastrophe, which means the Day of Catastrophe, were also held in the West Bank cities of Ramallah, Nablus, and Al-Khalil. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip also took to the streets to voice their anger against the Zionist occupation of their land. Similar demonstrations were held in some neighboring countries. The Zionist regime has deployed additional troops to East Al-Quds, and security is tight at Gandalia checkpoint of North Al-Quds. On Tuesday, Zionist forces attacked hundreds of Palestinians who were trying to mark the day in the West Bank city of Bethlehem.
This is the first step through which the Zionist army has killed the Turks, and they had killed nations. They killed Arabs and Muslims as well as Palestinians. Therefore, we are looking forward that soon, someday, the Zionists will have to be held responsible and tried for war crimes.
The International Criminal Court says it has launched a preliminary investigation into the Zionist regime's deadly attack on the Gaza Freedom Flotilla in 2010 to see if war crimes or crimes against humanity had been committed. On May 31, 2010, Zionist commandos attacked the first Freedom Flotilla in the Mediterranean Sea, killing 9 Turkish citizens and injuring about 50 other people who were part of the team on the 6-ship convoy. Meanwhile, Palestinian resistance movement of Hamas welcomed the decision.
It was an international conspiracy against the Palestinian people to give Israel our lands and make the Palestinian people refugees. But today, after 65 years, we say that we still want to go back to our lands.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai has welcomed a planned partial withdrawal of British troops from his war-ravaged country next year. A statement from Karzai's office said on Wednesday that Afghan national forces are ready to provide a security and defend their country. The statement came after British Prime Minister David Cameron announced that London will withdraw almost half of the country's 9,000 troops from Afghanistan in 2014. However, the partial pullout contradicts agreement that calls for the full departure of foreign forces from Afghanistan by the end of next year. British troops have been based in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province since the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan began. According to the latest figures, a total of 444 British troops have been killed in Afghanistan since the U.S.-led war began in October 2001. The increasing number of military casualties in Afghanistan has caused widespread anger in the U.S. and other NATO member states, undermining public support for the Afghan war. Now in Iraq, several bombings killed at least 35 people and wounded some 134 others on Wednesday. Officials said car bombs hit Qadamiya and Saad City in the north, Baghdad, Saadia in south, and Mashtal and Baghdad Jadida in east, killing at least 14 people and wounding at least 47, while a roadside bomb in the Zafarania area killed 2 police. In Kirkuk, a car bomb killed at least 8 people and wounded 8 others. The incident was followed by a roadside bomb targeting the Kirkuk police chief's convoy and a car bomb that exploded nearby, killing 2 people and wounding 9 others. Meanwhile, a suicide bomber on a motorcycle attacked a police checkpoint in north of Baghdad, killing 1 policeman and wounding 4 people. Attacks in the northern city of Mosul killed 2 policemen and wounded 2 more. The Wednesday violence came a day after attacks killed 16 people in Iraq, including 12 shot dead in Baghdad. Now in Europe and in Spain, students say they are not optimistic about their own future due to the wrong policies of government which has taken or aims to employ in years ahead.
In a country with a youth unemployment rate of around 60%, the 80% of students of vocational education find a job. Despite this good figure, Madrid regional government wants to change this education that trains youths into a profession. The regional government is going to cut the grants to the charter schools and leave this kind of education in private hands. Until now, 58 schools will not receive next year the public money that they used to get. For some of them, that will mean the end. 600 employees are in danger. But this change is also very important for the students. The privatization ambitions of the Spanish and Madrid regional governments alert the workers that these changes are just the beginning. The government said that this change is due to the need of saving money. The demonstration with a few hundred workers of vocational education gathering in Madrid to protest for the change proposed by the regional government was the end of a day of protest that included a 2-hour strike in all schools of this kind.
This is just another demonstration to add to the more than 1,600 that took place in the Spanish capital during the first 4 months of the year. From Madrid, Tamim El Dalati, by Shabaque Jabar.
Well, more news, but time is up. Join us tomorrow night with the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye now.